direct your attention to the Psalm 27 and at verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. This desire, which was found in David's heart, was put there surely by the Lord himself, because by nature no man has a desire like this. By nature men have a craving after the things of this life, after time things, and their desire is this: how can I possess more of the world? How can I enjoy more of the world? And they're seeking after those things that are perishing, those things that one day will be no more forever. But David realized his great need. David knew this, that if ever his poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. One thing have I desired. Is that your desire? Can you say with David, here is a companion that I can walk with, a one desire which is a spiritual, that desire which is after those things that are found in the fountainhead, in Christ? What a mercy if you and I are found looking away from the world, looking away from these things that surround us, looking above these inferior things, to have a desire to be raised above the inferior things of time, and to be drawn by the sweet exercise of faith in one's heart into those pure realms where Christ is. We know, of course, that the Lord Jesus Christ had not come into this world in David's time, or in the time of the Old Testament saints, but they looked forward, didn't they? They had the promise. They looked forward to that time when the Lord Jesus would come. Why, the Lord Jesus said in his day, Abraham hath seen, he saw my day. He saw it. And that a far off period of time when Abraham lived, he saw my day, and he rejoiced and was glad in it. And so did David. And how sweetly David speaks, doesn't he, of his Lord. Ah, the Lord is my light, mine. Oh, what a great claim for a man to make. The Lord is mine, my light, my salvation, my shepherd, my all. I say, what a claim, what a great claim for one to make. My beloved is mine, and I am his, said the church in the Song of Solomon. My beloved is mine, and I am his. How would you say, that's rising a bit high, isn't it? I do not feel I can rise as high as that. But is there a desire, friend? in your heart? Is there a desire to be able to say this, my beloved is mine and I'm his? A desire to say, the Lord is my shepherd because I have no one else. And dear Asaph said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. None. None. Because he knew, as David knew, and the people of God know this, that what they need is not to be found in nature's barren wilderness. Because grace has made an aching void which the world can never fill. Isn't that the secret? That grace has made an aching void which the world cannot fill. And you know it. And the Holy Spirit has taught you this, that there is an emptiness, there's a barrenness in this world. And what do we read of the saints of God in the 107th Psalm? Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Wandered about in the wilderness, in this world which is a wilderness to the a living soul. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then what, my friends? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he brought them out and delivered them from their distresses. There were different experiences there in that 107th Psalm. Ah, they were the people of God. The Psalm speaks of them, because if you read the second verse, it says this, doesn't it? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The redeemed, the Lord's people, his own. And he begins with them. He empties them out, doesn't he? Empties them out of the world and all that is in it. Because they say this, there is nothing here. Nothing to satisfy the longing soul. Oh, what if they could possess the whole world? What would it profit a man? What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But David, lo, and the living soul knows this, that there is something beyond this life, something beyond this lower region. And that soul knows too that he has a partner of this human body which one day will be separated from this body, this clay tabernacle. Oh, I say, what a mercy. What a great mercy. If you and I can walk with David and say, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That one desire of the Lord. A desire, a gracious desire, a living desire, longing desire of the Lord. To know him, whom to know is life eternal. To know him. Not just to have a head knowledge, but to have that witness within, the Holy Spirit to give to a poor soul that living, experimental knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to know him. We read, do we not, of Peter and John in the early days of the church? The people marvelled, didn't they? They marvelled at the words that they spoke, at the ministry. Nothing particularly outstanding about it. But you know, the Spirit was there. The Lord was with them. The people marveled. Why? Because they could see this, that those men had been with Jesus. Been with Jesus. And if you and I have been with him, my friends, it will show, will it not, in our countenance. It will show in our life, in our walk, and in our conduct, in our conversation, in our very life. The fruit of the Spirit, I believe I mentioned last Sabbath evening, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, temperance, faith, against which there is no law. Oh, you say, oh, to have more of Christ. Oh, that I might bring forth more of that fruit, if I bring anything forth at all. The fruit of the Spirit. And the Lord, you know, the Lord Jesus looks for this. He has a measure, doesn't he? A gauge by which his people are measured. And it is this, by their fruits you shall know them. Here's a fruit. Here's a fruit of the Spirit. And the gracious desire, like David had. One thing have I desired. This one desire, it all meets in fountainhead, in the Lord himself. One thing have I desired of the Lord, I say. This is the work of the Spirit, and it is that which follows, surely, the Spirit's work in the new birth. Oh, what an experience, the new birth. Old things passed away, all things become new. When one is sanctified by the Spirit, the Lord Jesus prayed for this in the, as we have it recorded in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. Be sanctified. What does it mean to be sanctified? Separation. 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 Grand distinguishing mark of vital godliness. To be separated from the world. I know we live, we have to, we live here, we dwell here below. And we come into contact with the world. But this is not our home, is it? The world is not our rest. Here we have no continuing city. For I do hope we look away from the world and the things of it. I do hope we look up to that one who gives of his fullness and gives to his dear people those precious gifts, those good and perfect gifts which flow down from himself. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, said David. That will I seek after. If there is that seeking in your heart, seeking after the Lord, after God, after godliness, after those gracious things, it is because the Lord has sought you out, because the Lord has begun his work of grace within your heart. Because as I've said, this is not the language of the world. It's not the language of those who seek after the things of the world only. But it's the language of the living soul. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. There's a seeking after these things, isn't it? When thou saidst, said the psalmist, when thou saidst, seek in my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. A seeking. You know, the Lord Jesus gave a sweet promise, and it is this: ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. And the living soul will be a seeker all through his life. He will seek every day of his life, will he not? He will seek his Lord. Why? Because in his heart there dwells that sin, the old nature, the old man, and we carry that sinful heart about with us. Some seem to think this, that when we have sought the Lord and we've found him, that is it. It's a blessed thing, you know, if the Lord seeks you out and calls you by divine grace to his footstool. I think of Zacchaeus, you know. Zacchaeus, who climbed up into that tree to see the Lord who was passing that way. The Lord knew all about him. The Lord knew Zacchaeus. The Lord knew where he was, and the Lord knew he was in hiding in that sycamore tree to get a view. And as the Lord passed, he called to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Salvation come to that man. And that is how the Lord works, doesn't it? The Lord seeks the poor sinner out and brings that sinner to his footstool, putting into the heart of that sinner a desire, that one desire that David had. Oh, what a desire. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, to be found a seeker. I love them that love me, we read, and those that seek me early shall find me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Be found dwelling there in the house of God. David loved the house of God, you know. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How amiable are thy tabernacles. And you know, he said that when he was banished away into the wilderness. Oh, David had his enemies. David had much opposition. David knew what it was, didn't he, to be pursued. But how he longed, he gives expression, doesn't he, of his love to the house of God. I've loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honour dwelleth. Do you love the house of God? Wonderful thing, my friends, the house of God. A little place to which you may come to worship God. I often think, you know, of those saints in days past, those, you know, that were taught by the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, and loved the truth, and many of them, you know, they worshipped together, read and prayed together in their cottages, didn't they? They would meet one day in one cottage and then another cottage for reading and prayer and the exposition of God's word. And they were very poor, you know. Many of them very, very poor. Farm labourers, woodmen, and so on. But oh, the sacrifice they made to obtain a piece of land and build a little sanctuary, build a house in which to worship. It wasn't the material things, my friends. We may admire the cathedral or the grand churches. Perhaps we visit sometimes when we have time and admire the architecture, the carvings and the stone, and admire the beauty of it. The house of God, my friends, is where God himself is, where the Lord meets with his people. I have loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honour dwelleth, where thine honour dwelleth. That's it. A place where God's truth is preached. The place where his dear people gather together for worship. Where they are found in prayer together, united together in prayer and in worship. And in reading the word of God and pondering over the word of God. And how favoured the Lord's people are to have a ministry. To have a ministry. The sons of God to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint but willingly. Not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind. He will bless the provision of his house and satisfy the poor with bread. Oh, what a provision the house of God is. I know the Lord can meet with his people in other places, and he has done and will do. And perhaps you can take me to a place where the Lord has met with you and spoken into your heart, and it's not been there. The chapel. There's been another place, and I can take you to a place where the Lord blessed me abundantly. When, you know, it's when the Lord opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing upon your poor soul that there's not room enough to receive it. And you marvel, don't you? You marvel at the wonders of redeeming love, redeeming grace, and your own worthlessness. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, dwell in the house of God, dwell where he is, that's it. To seek his face, to pray to him and to worship him, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. It's no light matter, is it, worshipping God? It's a solemn business, really. It's a solemn business, worshipping God. There's a gathering together of poor sinners, and they are all sinners, all sinners. They all sinned and come short of the glory of God. David was a sinner, and he knew it. And he was brought to the place of repentance and confession. How he had to open his heart, didn't he, to his to God and cry for mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my sin, and cleanse me, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I say it's a solemn thing to draw near to the living God. It's a very blessed thing, my friends, if you draw near to him and you have to say with David, look upon the face of thine anointed Lord. As if David would say, do not look upon David. David's a sinner, but look upon the face of thine anointed, that David might be seen and accepted in him, in the beloved, that is. In the beloved, in Christ, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, all the days of my life. Ah, is that in your heart, in my heart too? We think of those, you know, who worshipped with us in former days and have gone away. Some gone back into the world. Some having no desire for the things of God whatsoever. Solemn thing, isn't it? Having no hope and without God in the world. But there was one, wasn't there, that the Lord Jesus speaks of, who went off, went into a far country, and spent that which his father had given to him in riotous living. And the day came, you know, when he had nothing left, nothing at all, only his rags, his filth, uncleanness. So hungry, so miserable, so poor. I will arise, said he, I will arise and go to my father. I will say, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That was faith, wasn't it? Working in his heart. Faith, yes. And surely where faith is, unbelief will be there also. Unbelief saying, how can you go? How can you go? What will you say? Look where you've been, what you've done. I will arise and go. I will say, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And that faith in his heart, you know, led him, didn't it? Oh, it led him along. Surely he'd be pondering over his past life, and how he had spent that which his father had given to him. Pondering over how he would be received. But you know, the Lord Jesus speaks of that prodigal. And if you read that account, you can see the blessedness and the sweetness of the gospel there. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. When he came, his father was looking out for him, and ran out to meet him and fell upon his neck and kissed him and received him. And he was taken into the banquet which was prepared, a banquet, a feast for a poor sinner, a feast for one who'd gone off far, far away. You know, in the Song of Solomon, we read where the church said this of her beloved. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He brought me. And the Lord brings his people. He brings them each individually, one here, one there, one from another place. They shall all know me, he said, from the least to the greatest. All be brought along that same way, all taught by that same Spirit, all taught those same truths here in this sacred volume. What a book, what a volume, what truths, my friends. Ah, sweet and precious truths of mine. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To dwell there, yes, to be found there with the dear the people of God in the house of God, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. When the doors are open, you'll be there. You will if you are hungry. You will if you want a word from the Lord. You will, my friends, if you support the ministry and your pastor. Pray for him. Pray for him because he needs your prayers. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. I believe this, you know. If you pray for the ministry, pray for the minister and the ministry, you'll be blessed in your own soul. And I know this, that when a preacher is among praying brethren, he feels that support which the Lord gives, because prayer has preceded the service, the worship. The wonderful thing, you know, I remember in my early days, going back over 30 years now, I went to a chapel for the very first time over in Kent, and I was very fearful, and I approached the door. I thought, well, I don't know, whatever am I going to do? And the door opened, and the gentleman that opened the door was a minister. I'd never seen him before. And he asked me, he said, "Are you Mr. Bradstock?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "You come among praying people here. You come among praying brethren here." And the cloud, you know, which seemed to envelop me, was lifted. It was gone. Just those few words did it. And the Lord, you know, was merciful and gracious to one in the ministry. All the days of my life, David's heart was there. David loved the house of God. David loved the worship of God. He loved the truth, didn't he? All the days of my life. Life here, your life here. You know not the length of your days. You know not how long you will be dwelling in this wilderness way. My son has been to 6 funerals this year. And 4 of those people died suddenly, and they were all under 70. 2 of them were age 31. Another one 42, and another one 45. Very solemn, isn't it? We're not here forever. This is not your rest. Here you have no continuing city. And your life, the Word of God tells us, is like the vapor which appears. And we've all seen the vapor. and how quickly it vanishes away. You say, give me a place, O Lord, in thy blessed abode, among the children of my God, the dear saints of God, give me a place there. Oh, to be found with them. This prayer and this ambition mine, living and dying to be thine. All the days of my life, I know the world think it strange, don't they? But you would not exchange with the world, would you? The world may think you're strange, yes. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he joined himself, didn't he, with those poor, afflicted people, God's people. There's a secret, my friends, and the secret is this. They are the excellent of the earth, the excellent of the earth, the salt of the earth, the Lord's people, praying people, worshipping people, God-honoring people, Christ-exalting people. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, the beauty that is in Christ. Oh, what beauty there is. The beauty of holiness. The beauty of his grace. The beauty of his love. The love of God as it flows forth through his beloved Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the love of Christ to his people. Everlasting love, isn't it? Everlasting. Because it goes right back before the world was formed. The Lord God did choose to himself a people. And they were given into the hand of his beloved Son, who undertook to redeem them. To bring them forth, to save them. Truly amazing, isn't it? The wonders of redeeming love, redeeming grace, the wonders that are in Christ, that flow forth to his people. Ah, to those who know themselves, something of themselves, they know this and they marvel. Why me? Why me, Lord? Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while this room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? Why me? You remember I spoke of Ruth last Sabbath evening. And she marveled, didn't she? The grace of Boaz. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? She said, I'm not like thine handmaidens. I'm not like thine handmaidens. I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner. Ah, no more a stranger. No more a foreigner. But a fellow citizen with the saints. And I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty, the altogether lovely, the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. His mouth is most sweet, said the spouse. He's altogether lovely. His mouth, why did she say that? His mouth is most sweet because of the words that he did speak to her, conveying to her his thoughts. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith he, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. My thoughts, not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, said he. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Isn't it a mercy? You dwell in this waste, howling wilderness, and you have your thoughts. And do you pray, Lord, give me right thoughts. Give me right thoughts. Take away wrong thoughts. Take away evil thoughts. Take away those sinful things, Lord. Take away iniquity, all iniquity. Receive me graciously. Take away the love of sinning, Lord. Alpha and Omega be. And to inquire in his temple. To inquire in his temple. Place for prayer, and a place for prayer. What would you do without the throne of Christ? What would you do if you could not draw near unto the footstool of mercy? You think about it. You think of the world. They can live, can't they? Well, they appear to live like that, having no hope and without God in the world, and that's true concerning them, having no hope and without God in the world. No throne of grace. No God they can go to. But you have a throne of grace, and it's a great privilege, isn't it? A great privilege. You know, I thought, yes, well, most of your prayer is silent, isn't it? Most of your prayer is silent. It's without words. It goes forth from your heart in silence to God. Remember Hannah, the dear Hannah. You know, she was in great sorrow, wasn't she? In bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. We read that her lips moved, and she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And she prayed, didn't she? She was in the house of God, and she prayed, and wept sore, bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And she prayed like this, didn't she? Asking the Lord to remember her. Remember me. Oh, you know, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That you and I can draw near unto the throne of grace and plead with the Lord. Remember me, Lord. Remember the dying thief. How he prayed, remember me. And David, he prayed, and he said, remember not the sins of my youth. Remember me in thy mercy. And Hannah prayed, didn't she? Prayed, and we read later on in verse 19, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. Isn't that sweet?